Hello, this is John McCarowitz, president here at Ferris Capital Partners. We're really excited for today's episode. We have another special guest, but before we dive in, if you're interested in learning more about investing in apartment buildings in the U.S., knowing a lot of our listeners are Canadian, we also obviously raise capital on the U.S. side as well, but if you're contemplating investing in apartments in the U.S., go to fulloutinvesting.com. That's fulloutinvesting.com. We have a sample deal deck. And you can also book in a time to talk to Mark or myself to learn a little bit more about what we're up to and how we target doubling your equity in a five-year period. Now, today we have Corey Perkins. Corey's been with us really from day one when we bought our first asset. So we're really excited to have her on today. Corey is our on-site property manager at Largo, but is also helping with our transition as we take down new buildings. She's on site in Georgetown, our newest acquisition, Ferris Residences Georgetown, ensuring a smooth transition. So Corey has been in the industry really starting at 15 as a weekend leasing agent, committing to property management fully at 23. She spent a decade at First Communities working across value add, Section 8, as well as tax credit assets, and then moving from leasing agent to assistant manager all the way to property manager. Of course, the property manager is really the, you know, lieutenant at the property. So recently relocated to Florida in 2017. She moved into managing some A-class and new construction communities. Now, of course, she's at Ferris Residences under the Asset Living umbrella and back in that value add space where your passion really began. So Corey, it's so good to have you today. How's your week been?
It's been great, and it is wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just start with the role itself. Like, what does a typical day look like for you as the on-site property manager of an apartment building?
So honestly, every day is definitely different. You never know what the day is going to bring. So of course, in the morning when I arrive, I do, you know, walking the property, make sure everything looks great. And then from that point, I will follow up on any service requests that came in from the day before that were completed, just so the residents can hear directly from me and know that we're here and that we care. And then honestly, throughout the rest of the day, it is always a surprise, especially with all of the new transitions and the contractors and vendors taking care of all of that, making sure everything's taken care of on each of the communities.
That's right. Yeah. To your point, it's something new every day, right? You know, a contractor maybe commits to coming, shows up late, or, you know, an unexpected resident issue, right? Maybe a maintenance request that's kind of a bigger one. And so you're really that front line, like the face of the business in that way. So that's really a great primer there. So, you know, kind of being on the front lines, you know how important the resident experience is to us at Ferris Residences. And it's frankly why we partnered with Asset Living now across all of our assets. As you know, Corey, when we first started, you know, we wanted to kind of work with a couple of different property managers just to kind of make sure we were partnering with the best, you know, and pretty clearly right out of the gate, Asset Living sort of rose to the top. And it really was for me and Georgia, our asset manager, and Mark, you know, we just observed that, you know, genuine love for people, which is one of our core values, right? And you're just living that. So, you know, as you know, we have these resident guarantees, the happy in your home, which means that if you're not satisfied with your living accommodations in the first 30 days, you can leave with no penalty. That in your corner guarantee, where if a major life event disrupts things and you can document that, we'll let you out of the lease. And then, of course, that speedy service, which I think is probably the most important, frankly, right? Because at the end of the day, if there's an issue in your home, you want it resolved quickly, right? So our guarantee of getting those issues resolved in a timely fashion, or we pay you a Visa gift card. So how do you sort of like bring those to life for people at the communities? How are you talking to residents about that? And I'd love to hear how they're received. Do the residents appreciate those guarantees?
Yes, no, for sure. So we, of course, start at the very beginning when they come in to tour the community. When they move in, we're going to make sure Martha, who is here, is amazing at making sure every little detail. So when they move in to their home, whether it's renovated, non-renovated, it's going to have the same presentation as an A-plus community. That is our goal. If we would not live there, we do not expect someone else to live there. So right. I feel like we start there. And then, of course, like I was saying earlier, follow-up. Follow-up is huge. Communication right. is huge. if someone submits, even if it's something as simple as a light bulb, we're still going to follow up and say, hey, how was everything? Do you have any other requests? And I would say, as far as In Your Corner, that's one of my favorite. Yeah. And it is also one of my favorite about working with Ferris, because I'm able to, as a property manager and my team, we are actually able to be in someone's corner rather than just saying it.
Yeah.
For example, recently we've had some issues with some of our residents, unfortunately, being deported. So we've been able to go in and assist them in any way that we can.
Yeah.
So just the little things that when I reach out and say, hey, can we do this? We always find a way. And our residents are so very grateful. And I feel like a lot of the communities in our area where their trends and occupancy is dropping, even with us having these move outs, we're remaining steady because we're still getting the leases and the new move-ins, because of course, word of mouth is huge.
Yeah.
And I would say for our speedy service, we have service requests done within 24 hours. If it's something that we have to reach out to a vendor, then I'm going to put it in writing. I'm going to communicate with the resident and I'm going to schedule it around their schedule. We are not going to inconvenience our residents, of course, if we do not have to. So
that's great. Yeah. It's so funny. You said a few things in there that really jumped out, but that find a way, right? It's actually one of our fundamentals. So for those listening, you know, most companies have values, but at Ferris Capital, we take it one step further and sort of define those, you know, five core values that we have into actual behaviors. And one of them is find a way. And I think that one is just that idea that, you know, whatever it looks like, there should be a solution, you know, and it may not be easy, you know, it may take a few extra steps, but, you know, I think that's so good. And then the closing the loop thing, right? You mentioned where even if it's as simple as a light bulb, you know, your team took care of it, you know, Radio, our maintenance guy would buy and took care of that, you know, small issue. But the fact that we're following back up, is there anything else, right? That is such a thing that is so, you know, at the end of the day, it takes what, a couple minutes to make that call or to, you know, see the resident in the parking lot and stop and ask. But this is actually a little story that I had heard a number of years ago. It was about 15 years ago that stuck with me that the Ritz-Carlton does. And we really implemented it at the culture at Ferris Capital Partners. But of course, at my prior business, Mark Spain Real Estate. And it's that idea. So this is at the Ritz-Carlton. So if a building engineer is on their way to fix, you know, the air conditioning system, so they just happen to be walking through a hall and somebody sticks their head out the door and goes, hey, I need a few extra towels. So yes, of course, that engineer has to go to housekeeping and say, hey, room 303 needs some extra towels. But the Ritz-Carlton policy states that once that request was completed and confirmed by the engineer, so it's his responsibility to confirm housekeeping took care of it, they actually have to go back to room 303 and say, hey, just wanted to make sure you got those towels, right? And it's that idea. It's what you're doing, right? It's just that little extra step. And what I found in business, Corey, and I know you live and breathe this every day, it's sometimes just 5% more effort, right? It's, you know, following up after the repair to ensure there's nothing else going on. Or maybe somebody's a little escalated one day, right? And, you know, you resolve the issue, but you know, just maybe sending a handwritten note or maybe a small little gift card. Sorry for the inconvenience. This was actually at our Charleston property, but there was an issue with a unit above. The sink overflowed a little bit, so it caused some damage on the unit below, right, in the kitchen. So we had to remove some drywall from the ceiling, and some drywall dust got into the resident's toaster. And she was a little upset, understandably. Guess what? It's like, easy. Let's just go buy her another toaster. What brand is it? We went to Target, scooped it up. Here you go. You know, and it's just those little things. So, you know, I love that in a sense, I don't feel like I have to call you to remind you of those things. You just know you've got the ability to do those things, to solve those problems. And that's what creates that word of mouth you mentioned. It's why residents keep referring their friends and family to us and why our occupancy has remained high while some of our competitors nearby are seeing dips. So, you know, it's interesting. My next question was going to be about like living and working full out, but I think you just did a good job really getting into that, almost answering that question too, right? Just those little extra things, man, make such a difference. You called out Martha. So, you know, just for some context for those listeners that may be newer to this, you know, typically a property has a property manager. And once again, they are the, you know, people on the ground day to day managing that business. So the financials, ensuring the maintenance requests are done, working with vendors, making sure the renovations are complete up to our standards, you know, ensuring all coordination between the various vendors. And then you often have a leasing manager, right? So that's where Martha comes in. So she sort of front lines with the residents as they come through. And then we have a maintenance team as well that handles those requests. So you're managing that whole team, right? And so that's really the role. I like giving that extra context, Corey, because some of our listeners may be newer to this. So when you hear Martha, she's that leasing manager that is doing the tours. And obviously, Corey, I know you do tours as well. Sometimes two people yeah. walk in the door at the same time, right? Yeah, it's beautiful. So, you know, I would say at the end of the day, you know, whenever you're in leadership and property management, the property manager is the leader of the community, right? The role is really about problem solving. So can you maybe share a time you really had to think on your feet and go a little bit above and beyond to help resolve a resident issue or, you know, challenge?
Yes, for sure. I'm actually currently dealing with one right now. So in Largo, I have a resident. They are a long-term resident. They've been here for 15 years. Unfortunately, there are some pretty severe disabilities for it's a mom, a dad, and then a daughter, but she's an adult. But due to these disabilities, the mom is completely immobile. And the daughter just doesn't know how to do a lot. There's some mental handicap there. So with that being said, we, during inspections, noticed that there was a major housekeeping issue. And when I went in, the girl was just so upset. She was screaming, crying, begging me, just, you know, what are you going to do to us? And I said, I'm nothing. I need free. Guys, you know, help me help you. Let's get all of the trash out, which took them about a week. And now I have a company that is going to go in and professionally clean the apartment for them. So we can get them back to standards. And then I am going to go in and actually teach her how to clean the apartment and provide some cleaning supplies. I think the issue is she just honestly does not know how. Yeah. So I'm really hoping that this will help them moving forward. But it was definitely a creative thought process to this, because I obviously didn't want to go in and say, hey, you have to move out because you're not cleaning your house, because I know that it's not an intentional thing at all. Right. So just want to give them that extra chance.
You know, that is so cool. The fact that you're literally going to go in and teach her and show her, you know, how to do these things. It's talk about going above and beyond, right? And, you know, you said something early on, right? When you first get to the property, you walk the grounds and just check to make sure it's in good condition. And, you know, it's one of those things, right? Like a buddy of mine actually works at the Marriott. So, you know, Ritz-Carlton is part of the Marriott brand, but Marriott also is big on that client experience. And so JW Marriott himself was well known for when he would walk the property, whenever he was on site on any of his properties, picking up trash, you know, and he wasn't like mad about it. He didn't go bark at everybody, but you know, it's like, you walk that property probably two or three times a day, but in between those times, somebody might drop a water bottle on the ground or throw a cigarette butt on the ground. But it was more this idea that just setting that standard. So as the property manager, when the rest of the team sees you doing that, you know, they're more likely to do the same thing. I actually remember a really cool example when George and I were down there visiting and we were walking to check on a renovated unit. And you were like a few steps ahead of us. And I guess one of the residents were just throwing some cigarette butts on the ground and you were like taking notes, took a photo. And I was like, I'm going to send him a lease violation, you know, so it's just that Johnny on the spot. But there's something to that, right? When residents see trash on the ground, they're going to act more accordingly, right? And maybe not take the property and treat it the way it should be. So that full out, you live and breathe every day. So, what would you say is your most like favorite part of the job? You know, what's the most surprising thing people don't really realize maybe about being a property manager?
I would say, especially now, my favorite part is, and I definitely live and breathe Ferris, hope to be with you guys until I retire. But the difference in how we are actually able to take care of and care for our residents. And I know that I have said that before, but it's not just at one property. It is at every single community that you guys are over. And I've seen it during the transition at Georgetown. I've seen it at the communities in Charleston. It's all of our residents get treated equally.
Yeah.
And when someone needs that additional help, we are, not only are we allowed to do it, but there is a support system there, I think is the best way to word that. And I feel like what people would be surprised about is when you walk in, you feel like the manager has all the power in the world. Mm-hmm. However, I have been at communities where, you know, it's not in the budget to get a brand new AC, or it's not in the budget to fix the smaller work orders, example, like the light bulbs that will only do the larger items, or a resident comes to you and has an issue like what we're dealing with in Largo, Florida, as far as the deportations. I've never worked for another management company or ownership group that would do what we have been able to do to assist these people and let them know they still have a home to come to when they're able. So I feel like that 100% is my favorite part of working with you guys, and my favorite part of my job, because we're actually making a difference in people's lives, and we are helping salvage their homes. And, you know, it's just, it feels really good to be able to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, for those listening, you know, Corey's mentioned the deportation. So we've had three, and, you know, I will say, just because I think it's important for this context. So, you know, we have the fair housing laws in the United States, which means we can't discriminate, you know, on race, gender, national origin, religion, right? So that national origin. So just to be very clear, every resident that, you know, of those three, we're all here on work visas with no criminal history, right? So it is a bit of a challenging time right now when you're a property owner, because, you know, on one hand, you know, we can't reject somebody just because they're here on a visa, right? And, you know, here legally, but, you know, not a citizen. But we also have this challenge, right? So it's not an overwhelming issue. We're managing it, but, you know, it is interesting, right, Corey? I was talking to a couple friends that are also operators, and, you know, it's challenging right now, because you do everything the right way. You do the background checks, you know, verify they're here legally, but we still have this issue. So we're not overexposed, just to be clear, if you're in that Largo investment. Of course, we've shared this with our investors in the investor update, but I don't think it's going to be something that'll be this continuous challenge. But, you know, it is tricky, because, you know, it's like we did everything right, yet, you know, and these residents, frankly, did everything right. But the tenor of the political climate has changed. And so, you know, we ran into these issues. So it's sad. I don't, you know, it really hurts my heart a little bit for these people. They did it the right way, but still had that negative impact. But the ability to work through that and the way the team handled that and working with the residents to, you know, provide the best possible outcome given the circumstances really made me proud. So, shifting gears just a little bit, right? You know, I would say every property manager probably has like at least one unforgettable story. So what would you say is one of the funniest or maybe most memorable moments you've experienced on site?
Okay. So I was managing an apartment community actually in Sarasota, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I had a resident, they were two-story buildings. So I had a resident come home. He had, you know, he had two cats inside, and the ACs there were just like metal closet doors, basically. So his cat was just hanging out in front of the AC, and he's like, you know, what's going on? All of a sudden, the whole AC closet door comes down, and there's like three huge raccoons and then a bunch of little babies. So luckily at the time I lived on site, I'm getting the calls from emergency maintenance, and I'm like, okay, well, let's call animal control. So I go over to the apartment. Animal control says there's nothing we can do. I mean, at this point, the raccoons are just hanging out in his apartment. So we were able to get them out on the lanai, and then they sort of looked like Spider-Man as they were. So the mom was dropping the babies, and then the mom and I guess maybe the older siblings were crawling down the building, and it literally looked like Spider-Man. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that, like you said, every day could be something that just, who could have predicted that, right? Lord.
Right.
Interesting. Wow, that's a good one. Definitely not going to remember or forget that one anytime soon.
Right.
So, you know, let's just say we gave you a magic wand and you could fix one thing instantly at the property, big or small. What are you fixing first?
Well, that is a tricky question because everything that I ask to be able to fix at our communities, the answer is typically yes. Another one of my favorite things. So I would say the pending item that I have right now would be redoing the mailbox area here at Largo, which we would be able to do that. We're in the process of doing some other work back in that area. So I feel like that would be a 2026 budget wish list.
No, that's great. No, for sure. We'll take care of that. It just goes back to all those little things, right? I mean, you know, if the mailboxes look tired and worn out, right? It just, you know, we beautifully renovated these exteriors. We've done the landscaping. Yes. We've refreshed all the amenities. And then it's like, you know, the mailboxes are like, you know, a little rough looking. So, you know, all those little things add up. And, you know, you mentioned operators that don't budget for these things. And I would say one thing that I love is, you know, Georgia with her experience. And then, of course, she works closely with the on-site team. We ask those questions prior to acquisition, you know, when we're on site with the current property manager, like, well, what are the residents wanting, right? And we can't give everything. I mean, sometimes great suggestions, but, you know, for example, a couple of our investors over the years was like, well, why not put in a pool at a property that doesn't have one? And it's like, well, the reality of that is, you know, we wouldn't get our, you know, dollar return on it. Right. And it's just, so it's a little bit too expensive. It just, it would actually be a money loser in terms of an investment, unless we were going to hold it for like 10 or 15 years. But those little things that you can do that just tighten it up and just make the property. Cause I think about it, Largo in particular, you know, the neighbor property, built by the same developer, but at different times sold separately. And, you know, it's this idea that ours just looks so much better that we have residents walking across the street, you know, and willing to pay more in rent because they see the value that we provided. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's that idea that no different from a homeowner, people feel that pride. They want to feel that pride when they come home at the end of a hard day's work to a beautiful, you know, clean building with a great unit, you know, that's well taken care of with residents that, you know, feel like neighbors and part of a community, right? They want that same thing. And so you touched on that, but that idea that we treat everybody, whether it's a classic unit or one of our premium renovated units, the same, everybody gets the same service. And you know, that's something we learned at Mark Spain Real Estate. Didn't matter if we were selling an $80,000 home or a $1.8 million home, like, you know, the same level of service was provided, right? And everybody deserves a great service, right? So I love that you're so dialed into that. So, you know, just kind of more for fun, but, you know, when you're not keeping, you know, everything running smoothly at Largo and in our property transitions, how do you like to unwind after a busy day?
Honestly, this is probably going to sound a little crazy, but I enjoy actually going home, cooking a full meal for my family, resetting the house because I feel like it resets my brain, and maybe a glass of wine or a nice cold beer. I love football season because now we have a few nights a week we can hang out and watch football after dinner. So that's nice.
Yeah. So you're more pro or I guess or college, you like pro football?
I like both, but my husband is more pro football. So like I will still watch college for fun.
Yeah. Who's your team?
Georgia, of course, UGA.
UGA for college. Okay, but what about pro?
So Falcons, because I'm from Atlanta, but bless their heart, they're just, they've been struggling for a little while, but I have to stay loyal.
I'm with you there. Yeah. So I, you know, candidly, I don't, over the years, I had kids at 22. We were so busy and Saturdays and Sundays were soccer and volleyball. And I'm still in that world, you know, cause I've got a 21-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 16-year-old in the middle. But I went to Florida State, so they're kind of my team, but now my son goes to UGA, my oldest son. So, you know, a few years ago I was rooting against UGA primarily because everybody I know in Atlanta roots for UGA. And of course. it would wear me out, you know, people barking at me, go Dogs, you know? And so, but now that my son's there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow UGA. I'm going to follow Florida State. But yeah, the Falcons, gosh, it's been rough, right? Been a rough couple of years. I don't think we ever recovered from that Super Bowl, you know, however many years ago against the Patriots.
Haven't. And my husband is a Patriots fan, so it's an ongoing. He's from Boston, so.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, wow. Yeah. The house divided, right?
100%.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, Corey, you are just such a blessing. We've had just such a wonderful experience working alongside you. And you really, in my mind, it's like you set the standard for what we look for going forward from our property management teams. And, you know, you mentioned your desire to work with us until you retire, and that is a mutual feeling. So really appreciate, you know, just that relentless focus on, you know, our core values, right? That genuine love of people, making wise choices, first-class service, operational excellence, and speed of execution. You live and breathe those things. And Mark and I talk about it all the time, but you can't teach that. You can kind of maybe train some steps and some systems around it, right? But if the person doesn't have that in them, that care for people and that desire to serve, I found it's not something easily taught, right? It's like you either have it or you don't.
Sure.
And once again, it's like kind of like when we're looking at making a hire, we're like, it's always like comparing them to Corey. Like, are they, you know, yeah, maybe not as close, but are they 95% of the way there? You know. But anyway, well, if you've enjoyed this conversation and you'd like to learn more about what we do here at Ferris Capital Partners, go to fulloutinvesting.com. We do have a sample deal deck, and you can book in a time to talk with us. And we'd love to share with you a little bit about our 10-step full out process on how we, you know, not only identify, but how we underwrite, how we get it to the closing table, all the way to exit, you know, really from soup to nuts. So we'd love to get on a call with you and walk you through that. We do webinars often, so keep an eye out for those. If you've enjoyed this content, please like and subscribe and share with another high net worth individual. We love and believe in you. Keep dreaming and investing big.